Today's program was brought to you by Emmy Cheese, specialty cheese from Switzerland made with heart and passion. For more information, visit emmyusa.com.
This week on Meat and Three, we're bringing you four stories about lost and found culinary treasures.
We are searching for what will be lost, and we're trying to rejuvenate it.
What we try to do is collect these sourdoughs that contribute to the biodiversity of sourdough in order to store them, to document them, and be able to preserve them for the future.
It's bringing back the history and just being part of that time that just, there's nothing like it. You know, there's nothing like it.
When fame comes late, I'm sure it's just as sweet as when it comes earlier.
Tune in to this week's episode of Meat and Three. That's M-E-A-T plus sign T-H-R-E-E. Available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hi, I'm Allie Kane. Welcome to In the Sauce, a podcast about building and growing consumer brands. When we launched a line of fresh sauces, I knew we were jumping into something crazy. Haven's Kitchen is a cooking school, cafe, and event space. A product that people buy in grocery stores is an entirely new business, and I had a lot to learn. So in my efforts to get myself educated, I started meeting everyone I know and respect who could advise me on production and distribution, sales and legal, PR, and social media. Then I started having those conversations here as a podcast so that other entrepreneurs can learn from them as well. This is the story of Haven's Kitchen Sauces, but it's also the story of every growing brand because we're all in the sauce. Today, I'm speaking with Trinity Muzan Wofford, founder of Gold, the gorgeous tonic powders that you can add to water, smoothies, coffee, nut milk. My guess is alcohol.
Yes.
If you want to. I'm so happy you're here today. I feel like since we started trying to plan the date for you to come on, I just see those packages everywhere. Like, I don't know if I feel like they're exploding kind of in front of me.
Oh, well, thank you.
And that's amazing. So welcome, Trinity.
Thank you. Really glad to be here.
I always like to start off with a little bit, instead of launching right into your brand and how you designed your logo, like, what were you like as a kid? Where did you grow up?
Yeah.
Were you a food person? Were you a brand person? Did you like, you know, turmeric?
Yeah. So I grew up in a small city in upstate New York, Saratoga Springs.
I know it.
Sure. So grew up there and was raised by a single parent who was dealing with an autoimmune disease. Mm-hmm. So my mom has rheumatoid arthritis, and my family up there, we had always been sort of pretty open to the world of holistic
alternative
health. Yeah. Right, yeah, I mean, it was kind of a crunchy town at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much all of my family members wore Birkenstocks,
right,
you know. And so we knew about that side of it, but it wasn't until many years down the line when my mom first started seeing a more holistically minded physician for her mm-hmm. RA that I was really opened up to the power of holistic medicine and health and how it can really alter the course of your life.
Right.
So prior to seeing the holistically minded physician, she was on disability, really not able to lead a full life. And after seeing this doctor that put her on all these different alternative treatments, mm-hmm. she was leading a actually remarkably normal life.
Wow.
It was night and day.
That's amazing.
It was...
Was it mostly like herbs and supplements?
Yeah.
Or was it and diet, I would imagine? Or?
It was, yeah, it was all of those things. And then it was also working with a physician that knew how to use different prescription medicines, oftentimes off-label in ways
right.
that were beneficial to what her system needed.
Wow, that's very cool.
Yeah. If I knew it off the top of my head, I would mention it because it was so interesting.
Right.
But there are different ways to treat autoimmune disease.
Right.
That aren't necessarily just kind of like, how do we lower the inflammation?
Right.
So she saw wonderful results from that.
That's so cool.
Yeah. And I was in high school at the time, and mm-hmm. that really inspired me. And I decided that I wanted to be a doctor too.
Right.
And I was going to be a holistic physician. And so I went down to NYU for college mm-hmm. and was pre-med there and was super excited about this vision. But ultimately found a few years into college that my mom had had to stop seeing this doctor because she could not afford it.
Right.
Once you go on to the more holistic side of things, of course.
It's, right.
Yeah. Insurance doesn't cover it. And so I had this moment of reckoning as I was like getting ready to, you know, take the MCATs mm-hmm. of, okay, am I going to either practice holistic care for the community that can comfortably afford that? Or am I going to try to upend the U.S. medical insurance right. industry, which was super appealing to right. a 21-year-old.
Yes.
So after I graduated with a psych degree, like every other pre-med person
right.
that wanted something that wasn't as hard as bio.
Right.
and so didn't really know what to do with myself. And I fell into a career in marketing in the city.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because you were... I mean, what made you even interview in the first place for that job?
Like, oh my God. Honestly, I was asking around friends of what I should do with my life
right.
at this point. And I had heard that startups were cool.
Uh-huh.
You know, this was like right. at the time where that was an interesting thing to do. And so that appealed to me.
Right.
I mean, at the time, I was also applying to, like, consulting jobs
yep.
and just, I cast a wide net.
Right.
I truly mean that I did fall into it. It wasn't particularly strategic.
Right.
So I started at this startup. It was a tech startup in the mm-hmm. city. I started there as the lowest rung sales employee.
Perfect.
Cold emailing. Phone calls. It was all very painful for me.
Right. That sounds very riveting.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it could have been a more fun type of startup, but tech is like,
yeah.
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 All right. Anywho.
Yeah.
And did you start playing around with turmeric in your kitchen kind of thing?
Or yeah. So going back to that side of it,
right.
ever since I had that moment, I, you know, throughout college and after graduation was very interested in these sort of natural wonders.
Right.
I remember when I was an RA at NYU, mm-hmm. When like one of my kids got sick, I would like throw like oil of oregano at them.
Right.
Like, come to think of it, I shouldn't have been
administering medical care. Maybe not, but it's safe now. So we can talk about
it. It's natural.
It's better than like, you know, here's some cocaine.
Right.
Right? That could have been bad.
Of the things that I could
right.
give
exactly.
children. So, right. So I was always in that world. I remember I was voted holistically helpful in
right.
college because I was the person constantly
right.
throwing remedies
yeah.
your way.
That's great.
So yeah, I had that long time interest in holistic health. And then I think the final piece that was happening alongside all of that
mm-hmm.
was I met my boyfriend who is now my co-founder.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
So we met.
We should have a whole other podcast
oh,
about that because
yes.
that's got to be tricky sometimes too, I would think.
Tricky, but also wonderful.
Yeah.
But yeah, I have so many feelings
right.
about that.
Okay.
I, if we have time, I want to
yes.
talk about it.
We'll
but,
reserve a few minutes.
We met in high school.
Oh.
We were both pre-med.
Right.
And so we met that way. Issei, his family owns a candle company upstate.
Perfect.
And so we always had that window into entrepreneurship
yep.
and
production and logistics.
Yes.
And, right.
The not fun stuff.
Yes.
So we always had that window into it.
Right.
And so I think all of those things came together
right.
to make sense
That's
of it.
That's very cool. And then the actual first batch.
Yeah.
I mean, how did it, were you just playing around and
yes.
you know, how did it go from that to now I'm putting it in a bag? And did the bag that you first put it into look like the gorgeous one that's out there now? Like, what was that like?
Yeah, so we decided that we wanted to start a wellness company. We decided on turmeric specifically
mm-hmm.
because as our first hero product
right.
Because my mom had been using it for her RA
mm-hmm.
and had seen a big difference. And so I started playing around with it and found it was just incredible.
Yes.
And we found that it would be a really great way to put a wellness product out on the market that wasn't so complicated to create.
Yeah, for sure.
So the first iterations were truly Issei and I in our Williamsburg apartment mixing up spice blends and tasting them.
And playing with them, like, how do you make it so that they don't just, like, the powder doesn't glop up to the top and, like, a little cloud of powder?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. So it was just a lot of trial and error, months and months and months.
Yeah.
I can visualize it right now. We put them into these ugly little foil, like single serve packets that you just like ziplocked closed.
Right.
And I remember I wrote OG in Sharpie on it because it was for Original Gold, the name of our first product. And I would just hand these out to people and see if they cared.
Yeah. No, that's kind of how like Cliff started. I mean, you know, the guy who started Cliff Bar, literally his mom was a baker. He made some bars. He went to a race or a meet or whatever athletic people go to.
Right.
And he just was like handing them out just to see because they did. I mean, that's kind of the way you got to do it because those mistakes early on save you a lot of money later on.
Yeah. I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but I feel like there is so much pressure all of a sudden with the rise of like these VC backed companies that just appear.
Yep.
That there's this assumption that businesses just show up and they're successful.
Right. I think that's actually, we will talk about that after, but I also just think it's a great point to make now. And just in case I forget to turn around and get back to it, I think that they do show up overnight and they do have millions of dollars to spend. But what they don't do is they don't build a very strong core audience early. And so they can continue to throw money at it. And in some cases, they're too big to fail.
Yeah.
But I think in a lot of cases, if you don't have that core consumer and you don't know who they are and know what they need and know where they live and all of that stuff that we spend a lot of time on this podcast talking about, you'll read a lot about them and you'll read how much money they've raised you'll see them everywhere. But I don't know that people are really that connected to the brands, you know? I'd say the opposite with you. Like, there's a visceral connection for people that love your powders.
Yeah.
How did you know, when did you know it was a business and when did you actually put it into these beautiful bags?
Yeah, so the packaging came early.
The name came early?
Yeah.
The name's
all
great.
Of that, thank you. All of that came together quite quickly. We were on a mission. We knew that what we wanted to do was take this experience of ingestible wellness and make it way more consumer friendly.
Right.
I felt that, and I still often feel that wellness is still divided into one of two camps, where you've either got the ultra crunchy granola
like the hippie,
stuff.
Yeah, old school.
Or you've got what's coming out in response to that, which tends to be so ultra luxe and unattainable to the average consumer.
I think that's super true. I mean, I was on Amazon looking at turmeric powders, and there's sort of like a lot of these ancient-y, organic-y, Ayurvedic-y type of things. And then on the other end of that, you have sort of like the Instagram brands of, very kind of 2018, and there really doesn't feel like there's that much in between there. So it's really cool that you're sort of like gunning for that space.
Yeah, I really just looked at the challenge that I was trying to solve for myself. And that's why I think that part of it actually came quite easily for us.
Right.
So with the packaging, we didn't have any money and we had no skills to speak of.
Right.
So we recruited a friend of ours who was a designer to help us put together the design. And from there, we taught ourselves, well, rather I should really say Issei taught himself how to become a like full service designer, photographer.
It's amazing.
And so now everything that we do is 100% in-house.
Awesome.
And to get to your question as far as when it really became a business,
yeah.
I think we knew early on that we wanted to sell powders on a website and see what happened.
Right.
But we had no idea how quickly that would scale to retail presence.
Yep.
These things started to flow in inbound.
Yeah.
And we just sort of started to have to catch up.
Yeah. And that is actually a really great place to leave off when we take a break, because it's almost like be careful what you wish for a little bit, because there becomes a little bit of a capacity issue when the good news is people want you.
Yeah.
The trouble then becomes keeping up with the demand.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that when we get back from the break.
Today's program was brought to you by Emmy Cheese, specialty cheese from Switzerland made with heart and passion. Since the early 1900s, Emmy has been a passionate supporter of farmers, cheesemakers, and family tradition. They believe in sustainable agriculture and respect for the people, land, and animals that make their business possible. Remaining dedicated to tradition, they strive to lead the industry in innovation, ensuring they bring you only the highest quality, best-tasting cheese from Switzerland. Emmy is best known for importing more than 80% of Swiss Gruyere into the United States, but that's not to overshadow their other specialty cheeses, including Kotbock cave-aged cheeses, Appenzeller, Tête de Moine, and traditional Emmentaler. For more information, visit emmyusa.com.
Are you enjoying this podcast? Heritage Radio Network has plenty more. My name is Dana Cowan, and I'm the host of Speaking Broadly here on HRN. Every week, I conduct intimate interviews with the brilliant, powerful women in the food world. We discuss their lives, their careers, and the ways in which they navigate the world at large. You can find Speaking Broadly wherever you listen to podcasts and on heritageradionetwork.org.
Hi, I'm back with Trinity from Gold, and we were just talking about how you knew you had a business when you started getting inbound from retailers. We want your pouches.
Yeah.
And so I want to talk a little bit about, because, you know, as I was saying before the show, I would think it would be sort of this like amazing opportunity to be able to sell in health food stores and in supermarkets and also in Sephora eventually. You can sell in cafes or you can sell in spas. I mean, in a way, it seems like you can almost sell these things everywhere.
Right.
That being said, that probably has challenges also. Mm-hmm. So I just kind of wanted to hear how you think about all these different sort of channels, what you're focused on, and when does it become, you know, when does it tilt into like, okay, great little cafe in fill in the blank city. Mm-hmm. Honestly, you're not probably going to sell all that much of it.
Right.
It's probably going to end up being logistically sort of challenging.
Mm-hmm.
Have you said no? When do you say no? You know, all of those questions.
Yeah, I mean, so one of the benefits of leading the charge in this category of ingestible wellness is, of course, that we got a lot of those inbound inquiries quite early on in our business's life cycle. But the challenge is that you are also, you know, forging the path ahead, and it's on you to educate the consumer and the buyer around
where does it go?
Exactly.
What do you do with it?
What is
right.
this?
Yep.
What really is? I understand it's a powder, but is this food? Is it beauty?
Yeah.
And when you're bridging multiple categories, it does get tricky. We've been really thoughtful with our wholesale distribution strategy thus far.
Mm-hmm.
We partner with a lot of independent retailers, and we're super proud to do that because we're a small independent brand.
Right.
So we like to have those relationships, and we often find that those retailers can be some of our strongest ones.
For sure.
Because they're the most engaged with that consumer education piece, which is huge.
Yep.
We've launched in massive retailers and found that they are, you know, retailing our product next to like gummy bears because it's edible.
Yeah.
And the consumer doesn't understand, and, you know, there's sort of too many, you're too far removed from the buyer to really have that conversation about how to build education and awareness.
It does kind of go back to, you know, starting in a core and then growing out from there. And your best representatives are not going to be, you know, the guy at fill in the blank big store, yeah, your best representative is going to be my friend Carrie Lynn, yeah, at CAP, or, you know, who's going to know what's in there and be able to speak to it and talk, exactly, to it and get her guests to really understand it. It makes sense.
Yeah. So I think it was valuable for us to have that tactic. And we've been kind of
mostly beauty, like,
yes, yeah, we've been hesitant to step too far into the grocery side of things because we don't want to define Gold as a food brand, mm-hmm, and with it being edible, it's very hard to, right, make that a clear delineation. We've also made sure to not sit on too many sort of typical supplement shelves,
right, because that's getting a little crowded too.
Yep.
And I feel like that's also a very hard place to sort of, you know, if you're priced a little higher, let's say, mm-hmm, than a generic something, the people that are just like looking at the supplement shelf might not necessarily know how to make that value distinction.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. Yeah. So you won't see us on the shelves of like Whole Body right now. I never say never, and yeah, we're very open-minded, and I'm not overly precious about, right, where our product is stocked, right, because in the end, my number one goal is to make sure
getting
that our product is where our customer is. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm, if she's in Whole Body looking for Gold, you know, turmeric blends, then hey, right, you know, anything can happen. But that's really been our strategy. But
and what about coffee shops? I mean, you know, we make our own turmeric blend, mm-hmm, but there are plenty of people, and a lot of even wholesale, like they'd like to. We take Four Sigmatic, for, mm-hmm, instance,
yeah,
and we make our hot cocoat, which is like their mushroom hot cocoa, uh-huh, with reishi, and we do steamed oat milk. And
yum.
I mean, we would just never make ground reishi powder.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I feel like there's also that sort of food service opportunity for you also. Is, yeah, that interesting or not?
So
really?
It's something we do. We have a few cafes that we work with. I think there we are definitely a little bit more tailored with who we work with.
Right.
Ideally, it's a cafe that has retail also.
Right.
So that it's not just the product as a commodity, but you're really getting a chance to engage with the brand,
right,
in a
like
cool
a
way.
It's like a trial for it. Yeah.
Exactly. But we have a few cafes, including Champion Coffee throughout Brooklyn and now also in the city, which,
right,
has been one of our oldest partners and strongest as,
right,
well. So yeah, it's not a massive part of our business, but it definitely has been a strong partnership that we've been able to, you know, keep steady.
So if you had a pie chart,
mm-hmm,
and let's divide it. What ideal percent of that pie would be you selling directly?
Such a good question. There is such an obsession with direct-to-consumer these, mm-hmm, days as like the sexy alternative and the way to cut out the middleman. Right now, I will say that our business is about 80% wholesale.
Great. So let's say 20, is it? 20,
yeah,
of it's you. Right. By the way, I mean, I have my own feelings. I think they're slightly defensive because I don't think I'll ever be a direct-to-consumer product because it's fresh.
Yeah.
But I think that the reason why it was so sexy, and maybe I sound like a ding-dong here, but hear me out. I think the reason why it was so sexy for a couple of years there, mm-hmm, was because it wasn't that expensive.
Yes.
And that cost of acquiring a consumer, you could kind of, it made sense because,
yes,
what you weren't paying was like the slotting and the free, mm-hmm, fills and the promo calendar. And so it felt like it was less expensive somehow than going through the stores.
Yeah.
But now, you know, first of all, it got way more expensive with,
yeah,
Facebook. It's getting, as we speak, more expensive, mm-hmm, with Instagram.
Yeah.
So I don't know how much less expensive it is. The argument is you own that customer.
Right.
But you also own all of the nightmare logistics,
exactly,
of dealing with that customer, which is really
do
not
you
that
want
much
to own
fun.
That customer?
I don't know. I don't want to own that customer. Like, not if I don't have to, you know?
Exactly.
So I think, I mean, so what would be interesting actually is, so right now it's 20%.
Yeah.
Do you want it to stay at 20% or would you like it to be more?
It really depends on how our wholesale business develops.
Right.
If we have a massive launch on the wholesale side and we keep it at around 80-20 because that 80% is really, really big.
Right.
That's great.
Right.
I'm not really too concerned about hitting certain numbers,
right,
from like direct to consumer versus wholesale.
Right.
For us, it's really just about are we where our customer needs us, and are our margins strong enough to support
in
the way
each
that
place.
It's exactly. Right.
So let's say if 20% is you directly, do you sell on Amazon?
We don't right now, but I think we are going to relaunch back on there soon.
Yeah, I'm curious about your thoughts about that too.
Yeah,
because do you consider them? Because there are a few different ways to sell on Amazon,
yeah.
right? There's like you kind of owning it, but they fulfill it.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the other way, which is they are sort of just like a customer
right.
and they buy from you and then it's
yeah.
their thing.
Right.
Do you have feelings or thoughts about those options? Are those the right options?
Yeah. I mean, so we're going to play around with the Fulfilled by Amazon and just see kind of what comes out of it. Previously, we had the product listed on Amazon in a very unofficial way. We were fulfilling it. I had a terrible product image on there.
Right.
And, you know, so there wasn't
That's a whole science.
Right.
Right.
There wasn't free shipping on it. And people still came and bought it.
Yeah.
And I was so surprised by that
right.
that I decided, you know what, when I have time to think about this, I'm
yep.
going to actually
Make
spend a little
thing.
Time
right.
on it and see what happens. So we're still so early in the testing phase that I don't think I'm comfortable saying what
right.
the right way to
right.
do it is, but the way that we've always looked at these opportunities with our brand is like, hey, try it out, see what happens. If you don't like it, if you don't want to, you know, pull customers away from your direct to consumer,
right.
shut it down.
Right. Right. Yeah. You can do that when you're
yeah.
young and figuring stuff out. Okay. So there's the direct and then there's the Amazon
yeah.
and then there's the wholesale.
Yeah.
And then out of the wholesale, would you say 90% of that is small beauty, like smaller sort of natural beauty stores? I think Goop is a
yeah.
part of that,
yeah.
which is probably a big one.
Yeah, Goop's a big one for
right.
us. It's a lot of independents.
Mm-hmm.
We have a
Which
lot.
Is so good.
Yeah, we have a lot. We have a pretty nice roster of retailers. And what we find is interesting is oftentimes our best performing retailers are not in those coastal hubs of New York and LA.
That's great.
Yeah.
Because everyone and their mother is marketing to them.
Exactly. And so those consumers in those cities, they're so, I mean, we're so overexposed to
right.
the hot new thing.
Yep.
It's a very fickle customer
yep.
to try to hold on to.
Yeah, that's true.
And so I found that we have some of our strongest loyalty coming from Austin, Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
Cities that still have, you know, great culture and,
right.
and, you know.
And they're in on, they get wellness.
Right.
They're just not necessarily flooded with it the way we are.
Exactly.
Right. No, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And how do you think, I mean, I know that so far it sounds like you've been very thoughtful about it, but a lot of it has been incoming.
Yes.
Do you have a growth plan that the two of you have sat down and been like, this is how we are now. This is how we want to grow. This is, you know, are you thinking about expansion and are you thinking about it? I know you have a couple of different, like they're SKUs now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I always talk about it as wide and deep.
Yeah.
You know, how are you thinking about growth?
Yeah. So on the product side, we are definitely going wider, I guess, as you would say.
Right.
So
I don't know which one's which. I just, like, sometimes I'm like,
well.
It just has to be vertical. You have to go both wide and deep. I don't know which one is representing anything, but you know.
Well, I was thinking of it as wider meaning totally new categories.
Yes.
Yeah. So we have currently the turmeric tonic blends on the ingestible side. And the next big launch that we have coming up is actually on the beauty topical side.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, those margins are good too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Which is
great.
Nice. So are you allowed, are we not allowed
oh,
to
we
talk,
can talk about,
about
it?
It? Can we talk about
yes,
it?
Yes, we can talk about it. They're launching soon. So.
Okay.
Yeah. So they're going to be, so we're launching two different superfood face masks.
I was going to hope they were masks.
I'm so excited. I've gotten
yes.
past the point of trying to keep it under wraps.
Yes. No,
I'm just
amazing.
Talking about it.
Yeah.
It's April. They're launching in April.
Great.
Where this all came from was when we first launched Gold, we went back upstate for a few months because
mm-hmm.
I was ready to quit my full-time job.
Right.
Couldn't afford to stay in Brooklyn. Our
yeah.
lease was up. So we went up there for like 6 to 8 months or so. And, you know, eventually needed to come back to the city full time. So we came back to Brooklyn and my skin was not having it.
Right.
Just constant chronic breakouts
yep.
on like the lower half of my face and the scarring that would come from it. And
yeah.
it was, incessant. And I had found that the turmeric products had been really helpful up until then to just help maintain my skin. But once this big stressor happened.
You need to drink a lot to actually prevent it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there was this whole new level. And so I started playing around with putting all the different powders that mm-hmm. I had around the house on my face.
Yeah.
And this is how these products were born.
That's awesome. So are they powder and you mix them with water and then put them on, or they're not goopy?
No. Yeah. They're great. They actually, so they form a gel as soon as it hits water.
I love that.
It's very exciting.
That is very, how did you bring someone in to help you formulate it?
Trial and error on my own face.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Just a lot of research and...
So we're going to do like a little mini launch at Havens and everyone can just do face masks and Instagram themselves.
Yes.
Okay. That's done. Okay. In terms of... And it's funny because I feel a little bit like everyone... Well, I guess that's the purpose on some level of this podcast. I feel like even if I'm talking to you, mm-hmm. you're not making a fresh sauce, but there's something that I can learn, which is basically why I do this, right? I mean, it's for me learning. It's also for other people learning, but I really enjoy the learning part. And one thing you said earlier was that, you know, you're sort of creating this new space. Mm-hmm. Is it food? Is it beauty? Mm-hmm. What do you do with it? You know, buyers might be like, where does it go on the shelf? Who does it go next to? Mm-hmm. How do I position this when I'm talking to customers? And actually, we have a lot of those issues ourselves because being a fresh sauce, we can't be with the other sauces because they're all shelf stable.
Of course.
So there's always this question of, you know, there are three refrigerated sections basically in any given market. There's produce with the mm-hmm. veggies, there's dairy with the dairy,
right.
and there's deli with the pickles and the hot dogs.
Right.
And our, you know, we sort of have to, depending on each store, it depends where we go. And it's on us mm-hmm. to say, we think we should be next to the pickles. Or,
right.
you know, we think we should be in the yogurt section because you already have a non-dairy something something.
Right.
Or next to the salad dressings, even though we're not a dressing. Mm-hmm. So this is all my very long-winded question of how much do you feel the onus is on you to educate not only consumers, and how do you educate consumers, but also to educate buyers, and how do you educate buyers?
The onus is wholly on us to make sure that customers and buyers understand the product, how it should be used, why it's exciting. I think that our brand is enticing, and so that's what draws people in the first place.
Yes, but for sure. It's beautiful.
Right, but there's a big difference between seeing a cute package on a shelf and getting the customer to buy it,
yep.
understand how to use it, enjoy it, see the results, and then come back and buy it again.
Yep, that's when you ring the bell.
Right. So
I used to ring the bell when they were like, maybe I'll buy this, and then I realized that's not when you ring the bell.
Well, small wins. But so I think that on our side, there's been a lot of learning as far as how to manage the education. And it's also sometimes acknowledging that a certain retailer just might not have the setup in place that's needed to educate the staff as much as they need to be educated.
Right.
Sometimes you have retailers that just aren't there yet.
Right.
And they can't. You know, as much as it's on you to provide the information and be there, it's also still on them to then take that information and disseminate it to their team.
So in terms of education and information, do you go to all of the independents and you show up and you're like, here's how I talk about it here? Do you give them recipes? What do you do?
We try to. We're super
lot of
small. And so we're really, right now we're actually in the process of hitting all of our New York-based retailers.
Very cool.
And then we travel to California often, and so we'll try to hit those guys, and then we're actually going to Austin next week.
Right, great.
So I'm trying to hit as many as I can. Of course, we can't be, you know, face-to-face with all of them. But
right.
I've also found that social media has been a really great way to mm-hmm. keep those relationships strong as well, because especially for the independents, the owner is, you know, on the brand's Instagram checking things. And so, you know, there's a nice opportunity for us to cross-promote and,
for sure.
You know, just like build that relationship. But yeah, we're still learning. It's challenging with the number of stockists that we have to try to keep it personal.
Because I did look. I mean, it's a lot. No, I mean, it's interesting because it is notably a lot. Mm. And it's also notably very far
yes.
spread.
Yeah.
So it's interesting because I always, after the founder of Vita Coco came on, I always mm-hmm. now say like core, then more, which is just basically a nice way of saying like you start with the nugget yep. and you spread out from there. But you are doing that. It's just you're not doing it by geography.
Right.
Your core is like connected spiritually as opposed to connected by miles.
Yeah.
But that does make it more challenging to get to all of them.
Yeah.
And to, when you set someone up, for example, do you send them a case, but in there are cards and instructions and like, do you have sort of like an onboarding kit a little bit if you're selling?
I think that we can do more there. Mm-hmm. We definitely give them like some sort of like cards and things like that that have some information. But I think that there's always more that we can do to really get them feeling comfortable with the brand. But
right.
we actually just finally brought on a team member that's handling a lot of that side
great.
Of it.
Yes.
So it's something that will get a little bit less on my plate, and so someone
right.
else will be able to spend a little bit more time right. there.
And as you launch the masks,
yeah.
are they going to be, I would imagine they're like in the, it's like a case pack of six or something, like how are they merchandised, and will they be next to the big sacks of the tonics?
Yeah. So right now we are going to launch the masks just on our website.
Okay.
Yeah. So we want to test it out.
Right.
See what the response
smart.
Is. And then open it up to wholesale. We're also, so on the wholesale discussion, we're super excited. I know you had mentioned them earlier on, but we are going to be launching with Sephora next week.
Wow. That's meat. That's huge.
That is huge.
That's major, major.
Yeah.
Wow. And
yeah.
so how, tell me about that.
Yeah.
Like, tell me what, that must have been a fun call to get.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So they actually reached out to us almost 2 years ago.
Wow.
We were within our first 6 months of being a company.
Yep.
We were two people in an apartment.
Yeah.
And so we got an email from them saying, hey, we've already tried your product and we want to bring it in.
That's awesome.
It was like the best and like possibly also worst
right.
email that
scary.
You could receive.
Yeah.
And
how many stores?
So it's just online to start.
Okay.
Which
just
is
online.
A
great.
Godsend.
Yes. Yeah. Because I mean, you can always, this is what John Lawson said last week, and it, mm-hmm. it's true for Whole Foods. It's definitely true for
yeah.
Sephora, which is like the Whole Foods of beauty.
Yes.
You know, you can make a mistake when it's in just a few stores
yep.
or when it's just, but you can't make mistakes when it's global.
Exactly.
Right. So don't get nervous that if you don't seize, you know, if don't get nervous that starting small somehow is, you're never going to get to the big one.
Yeah.
You know, you want to start in a very sort of beta way.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Start small.
And so how does that work with them? Like, you all say, obviously, yay, we're so excited we can be on Sephora
mm-hmm.
now. You'll swipe to them or you'll link to them. And do they also do promotion on their end?
They do. What's interesting is, so they don't, you know, things with Sephora are not guaranteed of, okay, we're launching you and therefore you're going to get X, Y, and Z. But
right.
we have had a lot of really strong excitement from them about cross promotion.
Very cool.
So we're really excited about a few things that are coming up on their end for the launch. But it's interesting. Sephora, I have to hand it to them. Out of all the big brands that
mm-hmm.
we've talked to, no one else has had such excitement, enthusiasm, and most importantly, organization.
Yeah, no,
around
it's amazing.
How they are considering the wellness category.
They know. So I was in there because I have three teenage daughters.
Of course.
And I, you know, of course I was, you know, Sherpa-ing and getting someone's thing and someone else's thing.
Yeah,
and
$200 later.
I mean, and she, the woman was like, you know that you can get a lot of reward points for this. And I was like, I didn't, because I'm not really their target consumer,
mm-hmm.
I don't think, and I don't buy makeup
right.
in general.
Yeah.
But I was amazed at how on trend they were. They had all of the new little brands
yeah.
and some not so little.
Yeah.
I mean, they had them all.
Yeah.
They clearly have a team of scouts.
Yes.
And they clearly made a decision, because I wouldn't have known that they were doing ingestible had I not just been in there. And I
right.
was like, oh, well, this is interesting that they're growing into
yep.
into the beauty space, and not just beauty, but ingestible beauty, which is a big leap, you know. But they're very nimble for being such a big company. And I think that's what you're saying too. They have all the organizational strength.
Yes.
But they also have this, like, they have an eye for what's new and what their consumer wants.
Yeah.
And that makes them a very strong partner. That's great.
Yeah. So we're really thrilled to be partnering with them. Yeah. And I totally have to hand it to them.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. I have a couple of other questions. Okay. I want to be careful about the time. Okay. Let's start with what you know now that you wish you had known. Like, there are so many people that listen to this that are, and you and I were talking about this too, I don't know who all of you are.
Yeah.
A lot of you have reached out, which is really nice. But there are a lot of you that are listening. I can't imagine everyone is either in the throes of starting something. My guess is that a lot of people are thinking about it.
Yes.
And kind of the goal of this whole thing is to, if there's a way to reverse engineer something, I'm trying to give it to them. If there's a way for them to avoid a mistake I made or someone else made, mm-hmm. I'd like them to have that, you know, quick yeah. path. Sometimes the mistakes are important for learning. Sometimes they're just a pain in the ass.
Yep.
So are there things that you wish someone had said to you 2 years ago that you would like to say to yeah. the listeners?
Well, there are endless things.
Can you pick one?
Yes.
Or but, three. You can right. pick three.
Well, I would say one very impactful thing that I often try to impart upon people that are coming to me saying, hey, I'm thinking about starting a business. Mm-hmm. What you do is so cool. Is that there is no inherent glory right. in entrepreneurship.
No.
It's as messy and stressful mm-hmm. and ugly as people often do make it out to be when yeah. they're being transparent. That's not kind of like a cheeky way to downplay how cool it is. Right. It actually is,
it
really,
is
hard.
Really hard. Yeah.
And I think that one thing that I wish I saw more of as far as the promotion of entrepreneurship was the idea that it can come in so many different forms. You can choose this route of going all in and, you know, either raising a bunch of money or bootstrapping and spending your life savings mm-hmm. and focusing on this business. Or you could have a really great hobby that you love
right.
and
yes.
a steady side job.
Yep.
You could have a great, business that isn't even profitable.
Right.
But it doesn't matter because, you know, you put the money into it that it needs to do and you feel fulfilled by it.
Right.
And so I think that one thing that's just often missing is this idea that...
Is it a business?
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I think that's a great point. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure you have too. I have a lot of people that come to me and all I keep thinking is that's a great idea, but the minute that it starts to get bigger, it turns into not a great idea.
Yep.
So keep it small.
Yes.
But you can keep it small as long as the numbers make sense,
yeah.
right? As long as it's making money or it's not bleeding money.
Yes.
Let's put
right.
it that way.
Right.
Speaking of money, have you raised money?
No.
So you've just been bootstrapping.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you planning on it?
No, not at the moment. So what's been really nice about the fact that we have chosen to go the mostly wholesale route
mm-hmm.
is that we don't have to spend $100,000 a month on Facebook ads.
Right.
And so yep. we are able to scale our business in a way that's much more sustainable
yep.
than I think a lot of these direct-to-consumer exclusive brands.
Yeah.
So
I think there's a return to business practices. You know, it's unfortunate because apparently Henry Ford was like a really big time anti-Semite, which
oh,
is a
great.
Bummer because I like to quote him and then people are like, maybe he's not the best person for you to quote.
Give me the quote.
So like take his just racism
yeah.
out of it for a second.
Yeah.
He talked a lot about, like, before the Depression, he talked mm-hmm. a lot about speculation and he talked about how at the end of the day, if you're building a car mm-hmm. that isn't making enough money by sales of the car to pay for the next round of making cars,
right.
you're not really building a business. You're speculating. You're mm-hmm. you're making, you know, your people are putting money in here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm holding my hand out.
Yes.
I forgot that this was a podcast. But, you know, you're basically what you're doing is you're making every round of investors more money based on an inflated valuation that isn't linked to the actual sales of the product.
Right.
And he said, and that will come to an end. There's always going to be sort of waxing and waning. Mm-hmm. But every time that speculation gets, you know, starts to wax, mm-hmm. there's going to be a correction,
yes.
you know? And then people who have built businesses that way lose those businesses because yeah. the money isn't there. Mm-hmm. So his whole thing, you know, again, take it with a grain of salt,
yeah.
was, you know, build businesses that are fundamentally going to support if outside money just dried up all of a sudden.
Yeah.
You know, and it sounds like that's exactly what you're doing.
Yeah, and I think we were able to do that because of the experience we had looking at how Issei's parents built their business. Yep. You know, they built a candle company in the 90s.
Yeah.
This was not the time when candle companies were getting venture funding. So, you know, they bought a house upstate for, I think, like $70,000 mm-hmm. in cash and lived in it.
Yep.
And just slowly built the business over decades.
Yeah, that's amazing.
I wish that we saw more of that today.
Yes. I think we're going to see a little bit more of it. And I mean, I hope so. Mm-hmm. I think there's like a little bit of fatigue of the emperor's new clothes and a little fatigue of like, we're huge, man, mm-hmm. you know? And I think there's just, I mean, I'm hopeful.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way. Okay. Two more seconds. Mm-hmm. Any books? Any books that you would recommend?
I honestly don't read business books. Okay. I don't know if I'm the only person that'll say that. But I like to read books that are taking me a little bit out of my world because right. I'm stuck in it all the time.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I mean, the last book that I read that I really loved mm-hmm. was Pachinko.
Okay.
Have you read it?
No.
It's this fantastic novel that follows multiple generations of Koreans who are living in Japan during the Japanese occupation of Korea.
Great.
And it was a fascinating moment for me to dive into a culture that I know very little about. Mm-hmm. My co-founder is originally from Japan, but
right.
it's not my culture. And,
right.
and so I like books that take me out of my
yeah.
world.
I feel the same way. Every night I try to read either fiction or a mm-hmm. memoir. I'm trying not to read about margins.
Yeah.
I think about them enough. Exactly. And the last question, and we didn't get to building it with a partner,
yeah.
having your partner be your partner, but we're going to do that next season.
Yes.
Last question mm-hmm. is if you had to, and I'm sure there are many, but just choose a moment in the last couple of years where you just felt like, I am aligned. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. I am truly happy right now.
The last time that that happened for me was a few weeks ago when we were at an event and it was going okay.
Mm-hmm.
But this couple came up to try the product. They didn't know anything about it and they tried it and they were blown away. They kept taking more samples. One quote from them was literally, I can't believe this is good for me. It tastes too good.
Yeah, that's the best.
And that moment, that's why you do it.
Yeah, 100%. I love that. I wish everyone could, you know, I wish there were smell-o-vision, but I also wish that you could see the smile on Trinity's face
Aww.
Right now because you're like looking,
thank you.
Yeah, happy. Okay, thank you so much for coming today. I feel like we could talk for several more of these.
Yes.
People who want to buy gold, mm-hmm. where should we send them? Go to your Instagram and then
yeah,
from
go
there?
To gold.co. Depending on what date this is launching, you could also go on Sephora's website
yes.
to purchase there and then give us a little boost. So.
Amazing. It'll be April 8th.
Okay, we're launching shortly after that.
Okay,
so.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So if you want to hold off and just show Sephora like how amazing this product is,
yes.
wait until April 15th, and then all storm Sephora.com and
yes.
buy gold, GOLDE. If you haven't seen it, definitely check it out. Trinity, thank you so much for coming. Matt, thank you so much for being the best engineer ever. I don't know what it would look like otherwise, but my guess is that we wouldn't have a show. So thank you, thank you. And I'll be back next week with another episode of In the Sauce.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to learn more about our 10-year anniversary celebration happening all year long, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without the support from listeners like you. Want to be part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.